Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. They're just fantastic people over there. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Great stuff coming up later. We got five burning questions coming up. I think Tom's going to ask me a very loaded one about a certain former Ohio State football coach and the possibilities with him and another NFL team. I said last week, if I'm Dan Snyder, you offer... Well, I don't know if I'd go after Urban Meyer. I'm saying if I'm Dan Snyder and I've done the Dan Snyder thing before, I think Dan Snyder would go after Urban Meyer. I don't know if Urban Meyer would be that successful in the NFL. In the NFL. I don't know if he'd be that way, but Dan Snyder loves big name, big time savior guys. He's a fan. Dan Snyder's a fan. A Redskins fan, you'd be interested in Urban Meyer. You'd be interested in debating Urban Meyer. He's the same way. And if you're Urban Meyer, okay, my price is $18 million a year, and you fire Bruce Allen. 855-212-4CBS. Tom, before we do the Week 7 preview, you have this audio of Tom Brady. What is going on in this video, this bizarre video that I saw of Tom Brady here? You showed me this morning. I woke up at 7:35, and I saw this video.
All right, just to set it up quickly, there's a new Netflix series called Living With Yourself, starring Paul Rudd, that's coming out. In the opening scenes, the conceit of this series is that there's some kind of like massage parlor place where you go, and they clone the best version of yourself, so you leave like a new man, essentially. And
okay.
I guess
it's a massage parlor.
It's a massage parlor. So in the opening scenes of this 8-episode series, Paul Rudd pulls up to the massage parlor and encounters Tom Brady walking out, and then they have this exchange. So Brady's getting into some kind of escalator or whatever after walking. He's got a big smile on his face. His chest is puffed out. Now, apparently, this was written 4 years ago.
Holy
and they
geez.
Conceptualized Brady as the perfect example of someone who would benefit if this thing was real. If you could go to a massage parlor and come out the perfect rejuvenated version of yourself.
Wait.
However, Ken, it was filmed since the Robert Kraft massage salon incident. So he still went and read this line and did this even after that controversy. So while it was planned beforehand, it's still kind of a troll of his own owner.
Like so
a super
this was
crass one too.
You're telling me this was planned for you? Well, it's not as crass as actually going and participating.
No, it is. Right.
This was so this was written 4 years ago.
Yes,
and sat in a filing cabinet for 4 years.
Well. I mean, a lot of these things. So this guy was developing the story, and this is like the main conceit of the entire show.
I mean, it
so
does
it
take
makes
a long
sense.
Yeah. Is this a show or a movie?
It's a show. It's an 8-part series on Netflix.
8-part series on – I can go watch this now on Netflix?
I think it comes out later this month. No,
oh,
maybe
gosh,
it is. No, it is out right now. That's why
really?
People are
well, I'm there
it.
With yeah. bells on, brother.
Yeah, Living With Yourself, which obviously this is an amazing publicity stunt for the show too, which is also gross. It's all
why
just
would
awful.
Tom why would you do that? Other than Tom Brady just doesn't care. That's obviously it, right?
You know, it's possible that it is like an aggressive troll and he doesn't care. It's also possible that this guy is so detached from reality that he doesn't understand the severity of what happened, doesn't take it seriously, and doesn't understand why like spoofing it is, it's not funny.
I want to give him credit or benefit of the doubt and say that he just doesn't care. It's, well, when you really break it down to human trafficking, it is actually not funny. It's so they film this win.
I guess sometime between the AFC Championship Sunday and now.
All right, so over the summer they filmed this,
right, or spring or whenever.
And
clearly it was off season because that's when Brady would be available.
Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Is Paul Rudd actually acting, or is he like, I cannot believe we're doing this. I cannot believe we're filming this right now.
Well, the whole point of the scene is him being in disbelief that he's seeing Brady anyway. So there is a disbelieving.
That's not acting.
Him,
that's not acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, there's no way Paul Rudd is sitting there going, "This is." There's no way this is actually happening right now. He's actually filming this scene. Here comes Tom Brady, quarterback of the Patriots, greatest of all time, walking out of a massage parlor in a strip mall, walking over to his car. Now, I have to execute these lines, and I got to get it right the first time before Tom Brady realizes what the hell he's doing. Like, that's
so
what he's got to be thinking, right?
He's so smiley, and that's the point. He's supposed to be like this idealized version of himself.
It is.
So
I'm watching the video.
It's
oh,
so
my gosh.
Creepy. He walks out of this massage salon smiling with his
Look
chest out.
Look at the smile on his face.
Really weird, man.
He looks so satisfied. Look at him. It looks like everything's been released, and he is very happy and ready to go. And by the way, he also says he did it six times, which would imply that he has won his six Super Bowls because of that, right?
Yep, that's the joke. And I don't want, maybe it's harsh to say it's not funny. You might find it funny. It's just so far from classy. It's like,
so you're offended.
It's so far. I'm not offended. That's a different
thing.
I'm just commenting that it's so far from classy that it's actually trashy. That is a trashy, trash thing for Tom Brady to do.
Like, you would expect that out of Jay Cutler. You wouldn't expect that
something like that, exactly. Not the prince of NFL football history, the most successful player ever. I mean, the three of them, the year that they've had, it's almost like they're so successful, they're bored. They're looking for ways to mess it up. Belichick, Kraft, and Brady, all of them. Belichick going out on a limb for Antonio Brown for no reason. Robert Kraft going to a massage salon on the day of the AFC Championship game and then flying back after the day before he was pulled over by a cop, leaving the same salon. No alarm bells in his head ringing that maybe I shouldn't go back there on the morning of the AFC Championship game. And then Brady spoofing it in a Paul Rudd show.
Annie on Twitter, it would be so much better if Robert Kraft went in the massage parlor and came out as Brady.
Yeah, there you go.
Away we go. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that's something to look forward to when I get home. Put that in your Netflix queue. 855-212-4CBS. Are we ready? Need a yes. I'm getting a hold on. Stand by. On this beautiful Saturday. Getting it. There we go. Sometimes you got to kick the machine and away we go, baby. It's time for the Week 7 preview. Tom, give it to me straight, Buster.
All right, 1 p.m. on Fox, the Los Angeles Rams at the Atlanta Falcons. The Rams are 3-point favorites, and I got a new wrinkle this week. 78% of the bets so far are on the Rams.
This is the game that gets the Rams back on track. And one more nail in the coffin for Dan Quinn. I want to say fired. I really want to say fired, but I don't know if I don't know if Arthur Blank would do that during the season. I don't know if he would. That defense is a sieve. Matt Ryan is uncomfortable. I cannot believe this fall from grace for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, you had it 28-3, and I feel that this is going to be something that I saw Jeff Fisher. This is going to be probably sick to a lot of people, but I'm going to make this mention. Jeff Fisher had his granddaughter was born. And he sends this beautiful tweet, and it's just so beautiful. And you know that people are thinking, 8-8. And they're like, man, he came a yard away from being a Super Bowl head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach. You were a yard away. You and your sensational, excellent mustache were a yard away from being a Super Bowl champion. And I'll see Dan Quinn, who will definitely end up getting fired. I'm going, man, you were 28-3, and you let it all slip by. Next.
Yeah, I mean, that's the all-time get-right game. If the Rams don't get right against the Falcons, they are in crisis, full-fledged.
Yep.
Miami Dolphins at Buffalo Bills. Bills are 17-point favorites. 68% of the public bets are on Miami.
Buffalo's trying. Miami isn't. Buffalo wins this and covers. Tom?
I got to take 17 points. I have absolutely no faith in Ryan Fitzpatrick at all.
So you're going to take the 17? I think it's going to be an assing. It's in Buffalo.
It's automatic for me.
It's an automatic 17 points. I don't want to give Miami that credit. They're playing against a team that actually cares and plays good defense.
Anything more than two touchdowns, I'm taking points always. But I'm telling you, if I was betting it, I would not be betting that way.
Really?
That's
so
just the
you
way
would
I pick it.
Wow,
you
explain
this every week. Yes, 14
I know,
points or
I know.
More. It's a National Football League. Now I know the Dolphins wouldn't beat Alabama, so they're breaking the mold here. But
tickets as low as $58 for that game. By the way, next.
What a joke. Jacksonville Jaguars at Cincinnati Bengals. The Jaguars are 4.5-point road favorites, and 74% of the public bets are on them.
You call that a joke? Tickets as low as $18 for Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. There's no more Jalen Ramsey. I don't think that affects them that much. I love this trade for Jacksonville. I didn't hate it for the Rams. You're trying to make your secondary better, trying to make your football team better. Your time to pounce is now. I think they're going to pay for it in the end. Don't get me wrong. They are definitely going to pay for it. The Rams will in the end. But for Jacksonville, you're putting it together now, or you're trying to put it together for the future. I like Jacksonville in this game. I think Zach Taylor's not getting a full hand. You got Courtney Glenn trying to sue the football team. It looks like it's going to be time to sell AJ Green. And I tell you what, if quarterback goes down, maybe even Andy Dalton at some point here, I'll take Jacksonville on the road. Tom?
It's going to be a close call to win by 5 points. And anytime 74% of the public is on one side, it's scary, but I'm going to take the Jags too. Minnesota Vikings at Detroit Lions. The Vikings, 2-point favorites on the road, 1 p.m. on Fox, 61% of public bets on the Vikings.
I love the Lions in this football game. I love the Lions in this game. What's the spread you said?
+2. Detroit +2.
Detroit +2. I'm pounding the Lions like crazy on this. I think that last week, you get so close on the road. Green Bay's an exceptional football team. I don't think Minnesota ironed it out. Just because you got things going against the Giants. Now, that could be a reset game. The Giants are not very good. But I don't know if Minnesota pounded that out. I don't know if all those feelings just erode 1 week against a bad football team. Detroit can man up. They can play defense pretty decently. Matt Stafford gets no credit. He's still a dynamite quarterback. I'm pounding the Lions 1 p.m. tomorrow, taking the 2. Tom!
On a good Kirk Cousins day, the Minnesota Vikings are a top 5 NFL team. It's just so hard to know what kind of Kirk Cousins day you're going to get.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to take Detroit there too.
Last one of this segment. Go ahead.
Love it. Oakland Raiders at Green Bay Packers. 1 p.m. CBS. Packers 4.5-point favorites, but 53% of the public bets are on the Raiders.
Oh, man. By the way, hard one to get into. Tickets starting at 110. For the Green Bay Packers, obviously, because it's in Green Bay. That's always a nice sign of the times and a nice sign of how healthy football is in Green Bay compared to $18 in Cincinnati. I just still don't believe in the Raiders. I know, man, they're 3-2. It's been 5 weeks. It's like, Ken, you got to give John Gruden his credit. You got to do it. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it because I love what Green Bay's doing. And anybody who knows me knows that I am the biggest Mike Pettine fan, and this show will become the extra Mike Pettine show, trying to get him a job in the NFL at season's end. I love Green Bay's defense. They found a defense for Aaron Rodgers. It's Green Bay who rolls at home, Tom.
I want to pick Oakland. They're just so sparse in weapons and offense. Tyrell Williams is not playing in this game. I like Darren Waller. They just paid him a bunch of money this week. It's close with 4.5, but I'm going to end up going with Green Bay.
Fabulous, Tom. Fabulous. We cover the second half of the entire Week 7 menu when we come back. Also coming up at 11:40, we talk NFL football with CBS Sports writers. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
The Week 7 preview rolls on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk to Jordan DeGianni, CBS Sports NFL writer. That coming up at 11:35, 8:35 a.m. Pacific. Tom, we move on. Houston at Indianapolis, correct?
That's right. 1 p.m. on CBS. The Colts, 1-point favorites at home. The public split 50-50 on this one.
You can get into Lucas Oil Stadium starting at $37. Boy, I love what Frank Reich has done, but Deshaun Watson has been fantastic. I'm taking Houston on the road. I think that he is more than made up for anything about Bill O'Brien. I don't hear any of the gripes anymore. Any of the stuff about coaches making trades. They don't have picks. They don't need to anymore. I think Deshaun Watson has done a great job of backing up and paying off what Bill O'Brien laid out in front of him so far this season. Love what he's done. Taking Houston, they go to 5-2. Tom.
That's good value. Only one point you got to give to take the Texans in an MVP candidate at quarterback right now. I will be on Houston as well. There Arizona we go, Cardinals baby. At New York Giants. Giants 3-point favorites at home. 69% of the public betting New York. That's 1 p.m. on Fox.
I think this is going to come down simply to coaching. Tickets you can get into MetLife for $42. I'm going to say New York. I'm going to say the Giants. I like Daniel Jones better. He's spun a little bit better. Kyler Murray has not shown me. He's had a couple of nice balls here and there, but I think a little bit of this is already where Cliff Kingsbury is like, hey, you guys really want to do Peter Principle with this? I just think the Cardinals are going back to what the Cardinals are, which is a joke in the NFL. I'm taking New York in this football game. Tom?
I don't agree about the Cardinals. Their offense is working. Kyler Murray looks great. They don't play any defense. They don't know how to coach defense, and they keep losing close games. 3 points is kind of a lot. I think they'll be in this game, but I'm going to pick the Giants to cover and get right again. Daniel Jones has had a few bumpy weeks, too.
I think he looks as good as any quarterback who just starts out with a very little film, and I just don't think he's going to be that. Hey, you can play it later. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Are we talking about Jones or Murray?
I'm talking about Murray. I don't think he's that great. I just don't. I've not seen anything where, man, I got to watch more Cardinals football.
Please do. And text
I have. I watch him every week. I don't. Whatever. Next game. Every time I watch him, just like, all right, great.
That was
a nice 40 minutes. I'll never get back. Go ahead.
They certainly haven't beat anyone good. San Francisco 49ers at Washington Redskins. Niners, 10-point favorites on the road. 82% of the public betting on them. Huge number. That's 1 p.m. on Fox.
This is going to be a beating, and this is going to be a beating of sensational proportions. I can't stand Kyle Shanahan, the person. I think he's a world-class jerk, but he is a hell of a coach. And that line he said about the Redskins, no, he's a bad guy.
Wow.
What he said about the Redskins earlier this week was still hilarious. By the way, you can get to FedEx Field for $22. You can go see the Redskins. Hail to the Redskins for $22. I'm going to take San Francisco probably in a laugher on the road at 1 p.m. Eastern at FedEx Field. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to take the Niners, too. I'm just curious about that Kyle Shanahan, where he lost you.
Am I honestly missing
something major?
Yeah, I was in an interview where he was a complete jerk for no reason to one of the people that I was around, and I saw the real colors of Kyle Shanahan. I don't think he's a nice person, but he is a good coach, and I'll always give him that.
That's a shame to hear. All right, very interesting one up next. Los Angeles Chargers at Tennessee Titans, 4:05 on CBS. The Titans are 2.5-point favorites, but 60% of the public are on the Chargers.
Ryan. I got to go quarterback versus quarterback. I think the Chargers are already a failing experiment, and they are the Clippers of the NFL in L.A. Phillip is too proud a man with his bolo ties to let them fall like this. Tennessee's a mess. Ryan Tannehill is no sort of an answer. It's already reverting back out of the quarterback situation. If you're a Titans fan right now, I mean, which one would you rather do? Would you rather try to compete, or would you rather try to suck up the room at 2-4 and try to get yourself another quarterback? Because it seems like that's it and that's all for Marcus Mariota. Maybe you think differently there, Tom. I'm going to take the Chargers here, buddy.
This is tough. The Chargers are not trustworthy whatsoever. They're having a terrible year. The decision to force in Melvin Gordon and take out, I think, the best player on the whole team up to that point, Austin Eckler, has been devastating. They have to fix that. The Titans are trash, though. And now they go to a backup quarterback who is the same player. I don't think it changes anything about that horrendous-to-watch offense. They have one good matchup, Derrick Henry against the Chargers rush defense. I don't know. I'll probably pick the Chargers. I don't know. This is going to be a Sunday decision, I think. New Orleans Saints at Chicago Bears. Bears, 3.5-point favorites at home here. That's 4:25 p.m. on Fox. 62% of the public on the Saints.
Theodore, tickets, by the way, you get in at 138. Ooh, nice price. Strong price to see the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago. Man, 138's big. I'm still on Teddy. I'm gonna pound the New Orleans Saints on the road against Chicago. I think they'll continue to struggle offensively. Give me the Saints, Tom.
I find it extremely difficult to pick against the Saints right now, too. Chicago will have a get-right game at some point. It's hard to say it'll be this one, so I'll take the Saints here. Baltimore Ravens at Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, 3-point favorites in this one, 4:25 p.m. on Fox, but 60% of the public is riding with the Ravens.
The Seahawks are an example. What was the spread?
Only Seattle minus three.
Okay. The Seahawks are an example of dynamite coaching, a guy who consistently reinvents himself, because you have to do that. You must remain stable and you must remain true to your word, but you must reinvent yourself as a coach if you're going to be a coach for a long time in either the NFL or college football. It's the perfect mix of franchise quarterback, franchise head coach. That's what you're seeing with Seattle. They are playing with so much confidence. The defense, you have a younger defense. They're not the best in the league like they used to be, but they're holding serve. That defense right now, with where you see Seattle, they're a middle-of-the-road style of defense, and by all the metrics, maybe they're a little bit better even after that. At 5-1, they are one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL. They're definitely one of the most dangerous teams in the NFC. Everybody's going to make a big deal about the 49ers, and the 49ers, rightfully so, 5-0, they're kicking ass, taking names. Watch out for Seattle. And I know that everybody, well, Ken, that's nothing new. Watch the defense, because they're going to gain that time over it, because the offense is starting to click again. Russell Wilson has been fantastic. He's been so accurate over this the beginning of this season. He is right now the leader by a long shot with the MVP race. I definitely would hand it to him right now. This is a team that's got what it takes to contend for big, big prizes later on this year, because that defense is only going to get better and better as time goes on. It's still a young defense. It's got a couple of things to learn, but you're listening to Shaq Griffin every single week. They're learning. I'm taking Seattle at home because I don't think if Lamar Jackson has to run that much just to beat the Bengals, he's going to be able to do that against the Seattle Seahawks. Give me the Hawks. Tom.
I don't understand why they're only three-point favorites. I don't understand why 60% of the bets are on the Ravens. I think all of what you said is valid. This is my favorite pick of the week. Seahawks minus three at home. Now the big game. Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites. This is, of course, the Sunday night game, 8:20 on NBC. But 69% of the public bets are on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, man. Every time a team loses, it's what's wrong. I think the public wants Dallas to lose. I think that's why they're pounding Philadelphia so much. Tickets as low as $62 to get to AT&T Stadium in Arlington. By the way, you got an extra $70 hanging around. Go ahead and go see them. I think people want Dallas to lose so much that they're going to start pounding Philadelphia. You lose a game like that against the Jets, I still see this as an over 500 football team. Philadelphia on the road. Coming into this one, they have their own set of problems. There's questions being brought up against Carson Wentz. He has very nice statistical games. If you know, he puts together a beautiful stat line, Carson Wentz does. But you're 3-3. People will point to defense. People will point to run game. People will point to Doug Peterson. You have plenty of fingers to point with. Dallas, losers of their last three. It's ugly. I like consistency. Philadelphia, both these teams at 3-3, but Philadelphia has been more consistent. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles here.
Wentz has been unbelievable. He doesn't have much help on that offense. They don't have like a consistent run identity. They've dropped the ball all over the place. He doesn't really have a number one weapon outside of Ertz, like out of the receiving core. I guess you could say it's Aguilar. That's why they've struggled so far. The Cowboys are one of my favorite teams in the league coming into the year. I think they're an incredible home team. But man, have they fallen apart. Great bounce back opportunity for Dak against the Eagles secondary. But I think they're going to have trouble running it again. I think their offense is going to stall again, and I think the Eagles are going to win by just 3 points, but I'm going to take the Eagles.
Ooh, tall time. I like the pick. Next.
All right, last game of the week right here in New York. New England Patriots at New York Jets, 8:15 p.m. on Monday Night Football. The Patriots are favored by 10 points in primetime against their favorite primetime opponent ever, and 62% of the public are with them to win by more than 10.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
That Joker laugh is just magnificent. Joaquin Phoenix?
Ooh. You know who I got, baby. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, look, there's absolutely every reason to believe the Jets will be competitive inside of 10 points in this game. They looked very good against a good team last week. They're going to get C.J. Mosley back, the most important player in their defense. Sam Darnold is on the brink of breaking out if the offense can keep their stuff together. But this is the Jets in primetime against the Patriots. I can't pick the Jets, Ken.
Boy, for a second, I thought you were going to pick the Jets, and I was going to say, well, great pep talk there, Mel Robbins.
I think it's a smart bet, just like I think the Jets going 8-8 before the season was a reasonable idea, but it was the Jets. Everything goes wrong.
It was reasonable to say they were 8-8, but it wasn't reasonable to pick them against the Patriots. So.
Don't put American dollars on the Jets.
If you got some Canadian dollars, you got a couple of loonies, throw those on the Jets if you really want to lose them. And that is the Week 7 preview. I love ending it with a laugh. Bye weeks this week, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. Coming up next, Jordan DeJohnny, CBS Sports NFL writer. What's going on with the Rams? What's going on with the Chargers? Are we having a problem with offensive lines in the NFL? And also, at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Tom's going to love that segment. It's going to be delicious. Why? Because I'm going to admit it, if I were anywhere else, I'd be rooting for the Browns to fail and fail miserably.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4, CBS 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by GEICO, and there's great news. You can save 15% or more in just 15 minutes by going to geico.com. Our next guest, here to talk NFL, got some big college stuff coming up because I smell conversations about Urban Meyer. They're so good, I can smell them. Also, my top five coming up in college football right now because I think that finally, for the first time in a while, Ohio State is playing with emotion, playing with gusto. They are killing opponents, and that makes them number one in the country. And I'll tell you where everyone else fits. But right now, Jordan DeJohnny joining us, CBS Sports Radio NFL writer. Find him on Twitter, at Jordan DeJohnny. And first off, he's just getting off the golf course. How'd you shoot, Jordan?
Not very well. I don't really want to talk about it, but it's always good to get out there and get a couple games in before the season ends.
All right. Well, what the hell? We'll just move on from that. I've been there before myself. You're based out of Nashville. I'll just start with the Tennessee Titans. Has the franchise just given up on Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean, when Mike Vrabel spoke to the media earlier this week, he told them that there's a chance that he would go back on his decision to play Marcus Mariota again. He's inserting Ryan Tannehill into the lineup to get a, quote, spark from his offense. But as we know, if you've watched the Titans, the issues stem a lot deeper than just the quarterback position. The offensive line is struggling. The receivers are struggling. Derrick Henry, he doesn't look like the monster he showed us to be at the end of last season. So I'm not exactly sure how Ryan Tannehill fixes things with the Titans offense right now. So if you're asking me for a prediction, I think that Marcus Mariota plays again this year. I think they end up going back to him. But with that being said, I don't know if Marcus Mariota is exactly the answer moving forward for the Titans franchise.
Titans are 2-4. Are the walls closing in a little bit on Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I still think it's a little too early to say that. But definitely, especially when you have an issue at quarterback, there's going to be a lot of questions asked. And I see that he's starting to be listed up there when it comes to Vegas releasing odds on the next head coach fired. So I think it's too early to say that right now. But then again, we could look back at this as kind of the first stages of his last time in Nashville, I guess you could say.
What's the problem with the L.A. Rams right now? People are looking at the acquisition that they've made with Jalen Ramsey. They let go of Marcus Peters in a trade to set up the Jalen Ramsey deal. People are thinking they're playing it desperate, are they?
I think they kind of are in some ways. And going back to your first question, what's the problem with the L.A. Rams? If you asked me this question a couple weeks ago, I would have told you it's the secondary. But just last week, Jared Goff passed for only 78 yards. There's definitely some problems on the offense. Ty Gurley, I know he was hurt last week, but he's, of course, not being utilized as the star that he is. I know that there's still some questions about his health and his longevity. But in terms of them playing it desperate, I was very confused by the Marcus Peters trade. I think it would have been a pretty cool dynamic duo there, Marcus Peters and Jalen Ramsey back there in the secondary. But as soon as they started moving pieces around, Aqib Talib to IR, Marcus Peters to the Baltimore Ravens, I thought we started to see the tea leaves being read a little bit there with Jalen Ramsey on his way there. But in terms of them playing desperate, Jalen Ramsey is arguably the best cornerback in the National Football League. I think that even if he doesn't have four interceptions tomorrow, he can still bring a spark to this defense and this team in general.
Jordan DeJohnny joining us on the show. So you like this move for the Rams?
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I don't think it hurts your team in that way. But like you said, the problems stem a lot more, much deeper than just the secondary on this team. So I'm banking on hopefully Jalen Ramsey, like I said, kind of brings a spark just to this franchise in general now that they got a real playmaker in the secondary there.
Jordan DeJohnny joining us on the show. I think I love storylines and I love to play imagination, and I'll even admit when I'm wrong. It's what, a 3, maybe 4 week injury for Patrick Mahomes? I can already see the storylines now. I can already see the revitalization of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think for whatever reason, Jordan, I just got that stealing feeling that Kansas City's going to use this and they're going to roll off right into Super Bowl 54 when he returns.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong in saying that. I mean, Andy Reid has had success. I think Andy Reid has had success with backup quarterbacks. Look at his time in Philly. Mahomes is, of course, this is the best case scenario for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to come back in 3 or 4 weeks and probably be okay. Now, Matt Moore is not your top tier backup quarterback, but if he can just play, just run the offense, run simple plays, get the ball into the hands of his playmakers, the Chiefs should find success. You know, I was pretty surprised that the Broncos didn't score at all after Patrick Mahomes went back, right? You had to think that the players are probably thinking in their heads, all right, we got a chance to come back. We don't like seeing players go down, especially someone of Mahomes' caliber. But the Broncos couldn't find a spark at all. Matt Moore simply ran the offense, had a bond to Tyreek Hill, so you know that that option is still there. You know, I don't have faith in Matt Moore as the face of your franchise, of course, but I think the Chiefs aren't, you know, we saw Teddy Bridgewater come in with the New Orleans Saints, and he hasn't lost a game. I'm not saying Matt Moore is going to go undefeated with Mahomes out, but I still think that the Chiefs are going to be one of the better teams in the NFL when it's all said and done.
Are the Chargers already a failed experiment in L.A.?
A failed experiment in what way?
Well, you got that many Steelers fans in your building. It's not even about the wins and losses. You have a owner in Stan Kroenke who seems to not want you in the stadium. It feels very Clippers to me. It feels very old, without the, you know, terrible racism. It feels very old style Don Sterling Clippers to me, with the Chargers in LA getting ready for this new stadium, Jordan.
Yeah, you have to feel bad for these players. They get out and they have to play in front of like 20,000 fans. And 17,000 of those fans aren't even fans of the home team, right? But I just feel bad for this team in general, right? I mean, so many injuries on both sides of the ball for this team. This is a weird interim period before their new stadium. I agree. I don't like putting franchises through that. I don't like putting players through that. The fans don't like that either. So, yeah, it's a bit of a mess right now. But, you know, maybe when we look back on this move in a couple of years, maybe it'll be a forgotten time in history.
Who wins in a fight, Brett Bielema or Michael Bennett?
Brett Bielema, hands down.
Wow. Well, one's a much better athlete right now. Brett Bielema, I've seen pictures of Brett with his shirt off there, Jordan. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. If we're talking about BMI, then there's no question. But here's the thing. Brett Bielema is a tough son of a gun. That guy takes no crap from nobody. You know, I think he'll get the job done.
Jordan DeJohnny joining us on the show. How would you improve officiating?
Oh, my gosh. That's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
This pass interference challenge thing has made it so much more worse than I thought it would be when we initially introduced this ruling, right? I mean, everything is so subjective. I feel like we should just go back to having subjective calls. But like you said, I mean, the hands to the face penalty that ultimately caused the Detroit Lions the game. Yes, I said it. The Lions lost because of officiating. It's almost like we need a full-time ref in the booth that's getting the looks at every play like we are and making almost everything reviewable by booth or challenge. Now, that will slow the game down tremendously. But in terms of just trying to get everything correct objectively, I don't see how there's another way to do that. Now, I'm not calling for that, but if you're asking me the question, how do we fix officiating, that's the only thing I can think of right now.
Well, Can I throw a scenario by you here, buddy?
Absolutely.
I brought up at the beginning of the show, I was surprised that some people agreed with me. Some people didn't. I want to get rid of replay altogether. I want to go back to the old system.
I have no problem with that at all. You know, people miss calls. Everyone's human, including the officials. And just going back to having everything subjective with what they saw in a certain play, I do think that you're right in saying that it would make things better than they are right now.
Wow, I can't believe you're agreeing with me with some of the stuff I'm saying here.
Really?
Like, I'm not trying to be a flamethrower over here. I just thought I would get more pushback, especially with getting rid of replay and some of the other stuff. Like Mahomes taking him to the Super Bowl after he comes back from an injury. Let me throw another thing by you. Are you getting from the fans? You're a writer. You have to deal with fans, talk with fans, CBS Sports, the whole thing. And not dealing with fans sounds like a bad thing, but you talk with fans. Are you getting a sense outside that fans seem to resent Patrick Mahomes.
No, not at all. I don't. How would they resent them or resent him?
Well, seeing as you're in a place like Tennessee, like I'm in a place like Cleveland, okay? And right now it's not going well with Cleveland. And John Dorsey was the guy who drafted Patrick Mahomes, traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. And so there is a feeling where you have cities like, well, the Jets fans in New York, maybe even Tennessee with Mariota, Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston, even though those times were before Patrick Mahomes, obviously, that things go wrong, you get a quarterback, it's a rocky road, we'll see how it lands for all these ones. But man, Patrick Mahomes, you sit for a year, you still make the playoffs because you had Alex Smith, and now away you go. And I think there might be a little bit of, and he makes it so look so easy, a little bit of jealousy in there.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely see how teams would be jealous. But at the same time, everybody knew who Patrick Mahomes was in college. This was a prospect. You know, he was considered a top 10 quarterback coming in. Everyone thought he had problems with his footwork. You know, he benefited from the air raid. But he comes in and all of a sudden he turns into this NFL star. So talking to fans, I feel like it's more of an appreciation. I feel like he's kind of has a draw to the, or it draws fans from both generations in terms of NFL fans, you know, with what he can do with the ball, no-look passes. He's putting up 400 yards through the air every game. So I think there's a general appreciation there. But there is definitely going to be a movement where teams, and this was a movement that started just a couple of years ago. It's not just that Mahomes introduced it. But there's going to be a movement where teams feel like they just need to find a quarterback who's a star, who's a budding star, and everything will take care of itself from there on out. And that's what we're going to see. So it's going to be really interesting coming into this draft class, which is loaded with quarterbacks and potential stars, you know, how early and how many quarterbacks go in the first round. So I think it's more of a general appreciation. It's no one was predicting Patrick Mahomes was kind of coming to the NFL and win MVP in his first year as a starter, right? So that's how I feel about it.
Final one. I got like 60 seconds. Good or a bad idea? 17-game schedule.
Ooh, there's so many kinks to work out with that in my mind. Just in terms of trying out players and trying to settle your 53-man roster. You know, everyone hates preseason. It's not fun to watch, but coaches like it in terms of they get more time to evaluate their roster and try to find those diamonds in the rough. But right now, I'll say I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea for monetary value, and I think it's just a good idea for entertainment purposes as well.
Jordan, we thank you very much for the time. Loved your answers, frankly, because we agreed with each other so much. All the best to you and yours, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jordan DeJohnny, CBS Sports NFL writer. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan DeJohnny, 855-212-4CBS. 17 games. You'll watch. I know you'll watch. The reason I love NFL football so much, it's short, and it always leaves you wanting more. You always leave people wanting more football. You expand that type of season because now I get so nervous and I'm not going to give away what I can sell coming up at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. It's why if I were anywhere else, I have to admit, and I hate saying this because if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know that I have a heart and soul poured into one team. And if I were anywhere else, I'd be hoping that they would fail and fail miserably. Because it's such a huge thing to have such a short season. You want to make sure you're a competitive football team. And it's so beautiful that the NFL has us, college football too. Football has us talking about it 24/7 during the offseason as well. And I just never want to water that down. So 17 games, yeah, but I think you need to be careful. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.